Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
Continue our sermon series called March On. This is the month of March. Obviously, God's called us to move forward, keep our eyes focused on Him, and move forward. I remember growing up singing a song, "I'm in the Lord's army." Yes, sir. Jesus is our commander-in-chief. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, be a good soldier. Onward, Christian soldiers. We march, we move forward in the cadence together in unity to glorify Jesus Christ. It's easy to get distracted. I'm reminding of a story of a man who he was kind of down on his luck, couldn't get a job, and so he was thumbing through the newspaper. Anyone remember what a newspaper is? Anyway, he was thumbing, and he went to the help wanted ads, and there was one place that was hiring. It was a Philadelphia zoo, and so he worked his way to the zoo, went to the HR, man sitting behind the desk, and said, I need employment. I've been out without work for a couple days. He had a couple kids, and the guy explained the position. He goes, we have one position left. There's been a little tragedy with the orangutans, the apes, the gorillas. They've all died. They got sick and they died. And the guy behind the desk went to the closet and he brought out like a monkey suit. He goes, all you have to do is kind of wear this, you know, it had a head, and then just sit in the cage. Just act like we don't have a problem. Just sit in the corner. And they were paying like really good. I think it was like $20, $25 an hour. So it was like all you had to do is sit there, 8 hours a day. And like he didn't really want to do it. It kind of felt demoralizing as a man to do that, but he needed to make money, and so he accepted the job. The next day he showed up, he went into the cage, he kind of snuck him in there, and he sat there all day. He was bored. He was just bored. So the next day, he just kind of started moving around, like an orangutan, you know, does that. And at the end of the day, he ate a banana, and he likes bananas, so it was really good. And the next day, he just kind of started moving about the cage, and people started coming and, like, were throwing him, like, peanuts, and he liked peanuts. And I mean, he was like, and then he kind of started, like, you know, he started juggling, and the crowd started coming. And after a couple weeks, he was a favorite of the zoo. People would line up to see this guy. He was juggling. He was swinging. I mean, he was just, like, he's really getting into it, you know? And then one day, he made a mistake. He lost focus, and he was swinging on this, like, the swing, and all of a sudden, he was swinging, he left his hands, and he swung, and he flipped into the cage right next door, and it was a hungry, eating lion. And this lion, like, got back on two feet, and all of a sudden, he tackled this guy that was in this orangutan suit, and the man started yelling, help me, like, to the crowd, help me, help me. And the lion, like, smacked him and said, quiet, before we both lose our jobs. It's easy to lose focus. It's easy to get, like, kind of listen to Satan, just stopping, get distracted. We're into our phones. We're looking at everything in the world. But God tells us to stay focused on Him. Proverbs 4 says it like this, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Move forward. And there's a couple dimensions about Marlton Assembly of God. I've talked to you about our attitude and marching on. One is a physical, and the other that I'm going to talk to you is spiritual. But Tim Keller, and by the way, I put this on the app, and it's called Church Size Dynamics. I was going to read it to you. There's 16 pages, but there is something different about a smaller church and a bigger church. As a church grows and gets healthier and stronger, by the way, we had almost 250 people last night in church. That's bigger than the average church in America. We have three services. The church is growing. It's getting healthy. I know it's daylight savings time and all that stuff, and the weather's nice. Somebody thank God for the nice weather, right? Amen. But if you want to understand as a church, like my role changes, the staff role, you need more small groups, you need to train, you need more lay leaders, check that out on the website. I think it's like 16 pages, but if you've come from a smaller church and you say, I don't know what's going on in a bigger church, like how, read that. If you came maybe from a bigger church or a different dynamic church, read that on your own. It'll bring you up to speed. But there's something else about the church that you just walked into. we're not only Marlton Assembly of God, but we are a Pentecostal charismatic church. And what you will feel and what you'll sense in this church will be completely different if you go into a church that does not have an emphasis of the Holy Spirit. What's happening at our church is that people are calling out to God in prayer, and they're believing God for great things. I've told you that there was a young man who came to our church, and he was instantly delivered from smoking marijuana. Another lady who's been smoking cigarettes and alcohol, delivered in Jesus' name. Last week in church, I can't remember if it was 9 o'clock or 10:45, there was a lady that was right here at the altar. She heard the testimony of how God's giving deliverance and giving grace. She goes, pray for my mom. She's been addicted to alcohol for 60 years. I mean, people are believing God for great things in their life. Big thing. And God's coming through. The word deliverance, it's a powerful word. And from the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. So God's delivering. God's setting people free. There was someone who came to church a couple weeks, God's helped me with anxiety and depression and discouragement. It's happening, and it's happening by this Holy Spirit. So there is an emphasis of the Holy Spirit because of what God is doing. Jack Hayford said it like this: a passion for the Holy Spirit is more than holding a doctrine, but the discipling of people into the life of the Spirit. A discipleship dimension that most pastors are deficient in. How to live life in the Spirit needs to be covered on Sunday mornings. And so I want to talk to you about the gifts of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you're new with us, this is not weird or awkward or anything. It's in the Bible. But let me tell you the five dimensions of the Holy Spirit. The first one are five encounters. And they usually go in this order. Number one, before you come to Christ, God by His Spirit will convict you of sin and then lead you to number two, to the salvation that's found in Jesus Christ. Everyone who gets saved goes the way of the cross. And Jesus died on the cross to take away people's sins. But you wouldn't know that you needed a Savior unless God told you there's something wrong. We all know there's something wrong. We're sinners, and sin keeps us away from God. But the Holy Spirit draws us. No one comes to the Father but by the Spirit drawing us. How many of you felt the drawing of the Holy Spirit? And if you get off track, you know you're kind of wrong, and God draws you back. Isn't God good that way? He loves us too much to keep us the way we are. He's bringing us into Christ-likeness. And then number three, the Bible says that when you get saved or born again, the Spirit of God comes and lives inside of you and dwells in you. And you should feel it, and you should see, because you know God, His Spirit lives inside. If you don't feel anything, you're not saved. You need to get saved. You need Jesus to come and live inside of you by His Spirit. And then if you want to keep really growing and being like Jesus, and the Bible says there's fruits of the Holy Spirit, and those are found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. Growing as a follower of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. And there are nine fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, and gentleness. Right, there's nine of them. And the more time you spend with Jesus, you abide with Jesus, you'll have those growing in your life. If you don't spend time with Jesus, remember in John chapter 15, abide with me, and my words abide with you, and you'll produce much fruit. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't spend time with God or read the Bible, you won't have fruit. Matter of fact, George Barna did a research for the Assemblies of God, said this, watch, reflecting the fruit of the Spirit. And here was the premise. If church people, this is Assemblies of God, the Assemblies of God is the only growing denomination in America. They said if Assemblies of God people, if they will read their Bible four times a week, not even every day, but four encounters with the Bible, watch what happens. The blue signifies if you don't, just 13% of the time you'll produce love. But if you want more love in your heart and your life and more fruit, if you read the Bible four times, it jumps up to 52%. Same thing with joy. It jumps up to 68%. But if you don't read the Bible four times a week, you'll have less joy. That's where anxiety, depression, all that stuff comes in. Peace. You say, I want peace. You have to spend time with Jesus. Jesus gives. I'm going to jump over patience 1 second. Look at kindness. You say, I want to be more kind. I'm just mean. Spend time with Jesus. The more time you spend with Jesus and his word, you'll have kindness, goodness, faithfulness. You say, I'm struggling being faithful. Spend time with Jesus. Jesus is the faithful high priest. Gentleness and self-control. There's one hiccup. It says patience. The conclusion from the Barna research study is this. This is the one thing that you can't do just by spending time with Jesus alone. You have to actually walk this out through experience. And that's why experience is important. You know where you learn patience? DMV. That's where you learn it, right there. You're sitting there, why can't they get their act together? Our taxes are going. God says, I'm teaching you to be patient. And that only happens through experience. You have to walk this thing out. But let's go back now to number five. Here is the fifth encounter of the Holy Spirit. Remember, if you're here today, by the way, there's no second-rate Christians or whatever. There's just something else that God can do in every believer's life. Remember, conviction, salvation, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit's already working. Growing as a follower of Jesus with the fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's working in your life. And then number five, and this is important, it's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit so you could be a witness to reach others for Jesus Christ. Right before Jesus went back up to heaven, he said this, Acts 1:8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. God will empower each person in this room by his Holy Spirit so you're not a chicken to share your faith, but that you are empowered by God himself. And actually, the word power, some people say like it's dynamite or dunamis. It's actually best translated, God will give you the ability to share the faith of Jesus Christ. How many people in this room have loved ones or family members that you would like to see come to know Jesus Christ? Let me see your hands. Here's the news. You can't do it. You don't have the ability, but God will empower you to reach people for Jesus Christ. Amen? And so there is a unique dynamic, though. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, now listen, if you're already Christian, you already have the Holy Spirit. He just wants to empower you on top of that. It's like super gasoline. You regular have regular, nothing wrong with regular. That's in right position with God. But then there's an endowment of power to help you on a day-to-day basis. It's accompanied with speaking in tongues, the Bible says. Watch this in Acts chapter, don't leave. Acts chapter 2. This is all Bible. This is all Bible. When the day of Pentecost came, that was a Jewish feast in the Old Testament, and God was wanting to do something now in the New Testament by his Spirit. They were all together in one place. 120 people were in the upper room waiting on God's promise. Acts 1:8. Don't leave, you'll be powered. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Notice this. Men, women, tall, short, black, white, everybody. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. God, by his Spirit, came and visited them in such a very powerful way. They spoke in other tongues, and they went and changed the whole world. Those people, those 120 people, changed the whole world. They were empowered by God's Spirit, Holy Spirit, to go out, and they were empowered, and they changed the whole world. You and I are here because of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk to you. That's called the gift or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not salvation. It's a subsequent work of the Holy Spirit. And when you get like baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's a sign. It's a confirming sign to you and to others, and you speak in tongues. It doesn't bring you maturity. It doesn't bring you out of balance. You still got to balance your checkbook. You still got to take the garbage out. It just empowers you to reach people for Jesus Christ. So I want to talk to you about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What happens is when someone receives Spirit baptism, pushes them to a whole new dimension of spiritual living. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to walk you through that. I don't mean to scare anyone away, but there is a reality. And by the way, I just want you to share my heart with you. I'm preaching behind the miracles. I'm trying to tell you what God is already doing in his church. I'm not saying, hey guys, this is available to us. I'm saying this is happening to us right now. People are getting healed. People are getting set free. People are being delivered. This is happening. Young people, this is real. This is more real than the money in your pocket. God is moving by his Holy Spirit. I'm just trying to tell you, I'm going to do my best in my vocabulary to explain the gifts and the power of Almighty God and expect it moving in our hearts and our life. First, the gifts of the Spirit. God gives us three main lists in the Bible for the gifts of the Spirit. There are three main lists, one in the book of Romans. And by the way, all of my sermon notes are on the app. I see some people taking pictures. That's great. Well, let me just say this. In this community, most people say, well, the gifts of the Spirit are not for today. Or they'll say, like that happened in Bible times, or they'll say it's not for me. I believe, there's nowhere in the Bible that says that. I believe that the gifts of the Spirit are for today and they're for everyone. But most churches, even churches that fly under the umbrella of a Pentecostal church, they're not taught properly. And so if you want to go and like listen to my message or go online, see the notes, you'll be a better follower of Christ when you kind of see it yourself. So yes, you hear it and it's true, but study for yourself. Romans chapter 12, you can read that. There's three verses right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 11. I'm going to go through those with you. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 through 12. So there are three lists in the Bible. I don't think they're exhaustive lists. All I'm saying is this, ladies and gentlemen, God wrote it down for us. And I think we stand back and say, God, you are an amazing God. You empower us by your Spirit. And you give gifts to all the people in the church. So your church strengthens and gets stronger. And we see the God of glory moving in and amongst us for his name's sake. But it's in the Bible, and there are three lists. Now, let me just say this. God speaks to us. The gifts of the Spirit, so God speaks to us. There's four ways God speaks to you. Number one is through the Bible. The reason why I preach the Bible is because that's God's word, alive and living. There's a number two. God speaks to us through nature. His invisible qualities, Romans chapter 1 says. So when you take a nature walk today, you know there's a God. Someone created this. Don't listen to evolution. That's not true. You know there's a God. Everything has to be created. You don't go to Walmart and say there's a football and say, you know someone made it. There's always a creator. And so God speaks to us by nature. You go to the beach, you see the waves going. Wave after wave. I like that song. Wave after wave. The waves go. You know there's a creator. God will speak to you sometimes through nature. Number three, God will speak to you through pastors and spiritual leaders. Especially if people are close to God. They're in the Bible. They're not perfect, but you might have a small group and you have something said in that small group tonight, a word of encouragement or a blessing. You say, you know, God just used that person to speak into my life. It could be as simple as this. You're walking out of the church today and someone says, hey, I'm praying for you. And you feel all alone. You're down, you're discouraged. And somebody who has a moment of encouragement says, I'm praying for you. And it says, God, by his grace, spoke right into your heart. I don't know how it works. All I know is that God uses people to speak into our life. You might be here right now. You might be right in this room right now. You feel like suicidal thoughts. You feel like, I don't know if this is real. And something inside of your heart is flipping. God could use me to be a blessing to you right now. Doesn't mean always. Some of you are just dead asleep. And I don't know what's going on. Anyway, number four, he works by his Spirit. Usually it's through gentle nudges. If you're a mature Christian, he just steers you. When you first come to Christ, it's big things. You're like, wow, this is real. As you get older in the faith, you're like, you're trying to discern it. And it's usually the still small voice nudging you. You don't need always the big things like you're a child anymore. You just need the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. My wife can give me a look across the room and I know what she's saying. Good and bad. I know her. I love her. We're in deep. We don't need, hey. Been there, done that. But there's a connection. When you're connected with God, it doesn't always need to be that. It needs to be deep, heartfelt love. And God will respond in his grace. So if you're dying and going to hell today, God will try to speak to your life through the word, through nature, through pastors, and by his Spirit. He'll use the field house. He'll use MCA. God is a communicating God. In Genesis chapter 1, God said, let there be light. God is speaking. He's speaking in South Georgia. He's speaking in America. And he is trying to communicate. One of the ways he communicates is through the gifts of the Spirit. But whatever it takes so you don't go to hell. He is wanting you to know the gospel. He is wanting you to know the cross. Every family member you have, God is communicating. He is shouting. He is trying so you don't die. He is trying to lift you up. Our God communicates, and primarily in four different ways by his Spirit. But let's go through one of those gifts of the Spirit, those lists, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 11. We're going to read it quick. And by the way, this is just a flyover. This is just a flyover. If you're interested in spiritual gifts, or you ask God, and God will lead and guide your life. But we're just kind of flying over. Because, guys, I'm here to tell you, this is what God's doing. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Watch this. Chapter 12, excuse me. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Or King James says, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, you didn't know God. Somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. You were caught up. Most people look to their horoscopes for the future. People look to talk to different people. He said, you listen to the wrong people, the wrong things. Watch this. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work, one God who blesses. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. So now there's going to be nine. He's going to list nine gifts of the Spirit. You can just follow along. Ready? The message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between the spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit. And he distributes to each one just as he determines. So first, this is biblical, three lists. Number two, I want you to see this. God gives his gifts for the common good. This is not for you so you can walk around and say, hey, look at me, God's using me. No, you misunderstood. Verse 7 says, when God gives gifts, it's for the common good. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now, some people have beautiful natural gifts. Someone can sing. Whitney Houston, she came out of church in Newark. I know exactly where it was. Man, she had a beautiful natural gift. I mean, it's obvious. She's born with it. I'm sure she worked it, but that's a natural gift. Some guys, they just come out of the womb and they can dunk a basketball. Have you ever noticed like some men, like they're built? Like there's just some people have natural gifts. Like they have nice hair. That's a natural thing. We're not talking about natural things. We're talking about supernatural. And so what happens if God uses you? Let's just say God uses you to do healings. Say, God comes upon me, and I'm using the gift of healing. You say, you know what? I don't like Pastor John. I don't like this sermon series. I think it's stupid. March on. And you take your gift, march on. How hard was that? What's next month? April showers. There should be showers of blessing. No, and you take your gift, you take your healing gift, and you go put it in a closet somewhere. Well, guess what? Someone just didn't get healed. There could be someone right now that's sick, and there could be someone else in here that God wants to use in a miraculous moment to bring healing. But some people like to take their ball and go home. The gifts are not about you. They're always for the common good. There's a reason why I say, hey, it's good to have unity. Pastor Christian mentioned, hey, we love one another. Multicultural, multi-generational. This is not about you. This is about Jesus and the common good. Satan is always trying to pull people apart and bring dissension. God is always trying to bring people together. Every tongue, every tribe, blessing, gospel, unity. God gives gifts for the common good. Number three. God gives gifts to each person as he determines. So this has nothing to do with Pastor John. Let me just put Pastor John over here. The pastor is important because he delivers God's word, but this has nothing to do with the pastor. Jesus passes out the gifts. He, at the right time, to the right people, the right season, he's the gift giver. I can't do that for you. There are 9 gifts in this list, and God in his grace will pass out those gifts just as he determines. By the way, he'll give it to everybody at the right time. But I can't do that. Nobody else can do that. Moms and dads, you can't do that for your kids. These are spiritual, supernatural gifts, and God gives them. So let's just quickly dissect them. I would call the first 3 intuitional gifts. This is wisdom, knowledge, and discernment. And by the way, if you're going to be a pastor, small group leader, or whatever, these are the ones you need more than ever before. If you're going to be in this realm, you need the wisdom and discernment and knowledge from Almighty God. If you homeschool or you're a parent, you need discernment. I'm telling you, moms, sisters, dads, this is how it works. Your kid comes up to you and say, Mom, I'm done with my homework. And all of a sudden, something clicks inside of you. That's not true. God gives you a moment. The Spirit of God in a moment comes and blesses that situation. Say, are you really done with the work? This is not a sixth sense. This is not a feeling. This is the Spirit of God coming upon you for a moment. This is not being smart or well-educated. This is not reading the book of Proverbs. This is a moment where God comes upon his people by the Holy Spirit to do something wonderful in that moment. I want to give you examples. So I met my future son-in-law's parents. They're from the Midwest, from Kansas City, Kansas, Missouri, Kansas, same thing on the line. They're Midwest people. And he has a high-level paying job in sales for pharmaceutical, whatever. And he was praying to God. He had this idea, and he had this invention. He said, I was sitting there, and he goes, I felt like God gave me exactly how to make, it was an invention when people have surgeries. I didn't know this, but when people have surgeries, they put that tube down, it breaks people's teeth. I didn't know this, you might know this. But he had this invention that when they put the tube down your throat during surgery, it's a streamline, it wouldn't break your teeth. Because what happens is it breaks your teeth and the teeth go down there and it's all this difficult stuff. People get really sick. He goes, I was sitting and I was asking the Lord for direction for my life. And he goes, I had a word of knowledge or wisdom that came over me. And he said, God showed me exactly how this patent should be. He's patented it. He's preparing now to leave his workforce and go on the road and do very well because God showed him how he should move forward. I want to tell everybody in this room, God will lead you to the next step supernaturally. Wisdom, discernment, knowledge, and you cannot get it on your own. It's a gift from Almighty God. God by his Spirit is very practical. And by the way, the gifts of the Spirit are not just for the church. This is like a laboratory so you could have testing. The pastor can help you and nurture it. But really the best gifts are for out there. Because if you work in the public school system, you need God. You must represent, but you can't just say Jesus. You can't just say, hey, Jesus, hey, no, you can't. You need wisdom on how to, and God will show you in every moment how to handle that. In the public school, military, you need the grace of God to help you through that. I told you 2 weeks ago, I was sitting at Panera Bread. I never go to Panera Bread. But for whatever, I drop off my daughter at 7:15 Cherokee High School. I don't really need to get here to 9 o'clock. I don't need to work from 7:15 like to 7 o'clock every day. So I said, I'm going to go to Panera Bread. They have good quiche. Somebody say, God, thank God for quiche. I just like saying quiche. So you go in there, they had on a little warmer there, 4 cheese quiche. And I went and said, nobody was in there. All of a sudden, this man comes in. I had seen this man for 4 years, never really talked to him. And I just sat there and was kind of reading my Bible on the app. And I felt like God said, as much as me and you were talking, I felt like God said, why don't you go introduce yourself to him? And I started talking to God. You ever talk to God? Or you act like God doesn't know what he's talking about at that moment. And I said, God, please forgive me, but I'm reading your word right now, and I've got to focus doing my devotions. But God is so good. You know what he'll do? He'll keep speaking to you. Because you don't want to lose an opportunity, because when God's grace comes upon you, his Spirit, he leads you to what's right. He'll never lead you to what's wrong. He always leads you to forward thinking. I said, God, I don't even know this guy. I don't know him. I don't know if he likes me. I'm not sure I like him. I'm busy. And so my prayer was, I'm literally talking to God, praying. It's like, I hope he leaves. Because you know what I'm saying? I was saying, like, well, maybe I got it wrong. God ever talked to you by his Spirit? And you think, I'm not really sure if that's just me or that's the quiche. Is that the quiche talking? And God would say, hey, I want you to go introduce yourself. And God's my witness, this is bad. I went up and I went over to like ketchups and the mustard packets, everything. I was wasting time because I'm like, just leave. Have you ever just been into your own world and you didn't want to talk to somebody? That's a great time for God to interrupt it. Like, you're in your flesh, but I have something better for you. So finally, I just kind of like, okay. They had to call the cops because I was talking to myself. So I walked over. I said, hey, listen, I don't really know you. I just wanted to, and I said, my daughter JoJo, and I've seen you around. And I'm telling you, it was like a God moment. He started talking about the field house and all the stuff at the church. I'm like, I didn't even know you really knew me. And I want to just tell you, there's going to be moments where God speaks to you. If you'll just obey it and just try it, God will lead you towards something that's better than you ever thought. You know what God used to do? And this probably happens to you all the time, where all of a sudden you're driving down the road and a name pops into your head. It's almost like, hey, pray for that. Like you could say, pray for Pastor John, or you know, pray for your small group leader. It's like something that God says only to you, and you can never figure it out, but it just happens to you. What I've learned to just do is say, whenever I feel something like that, I'll just kind of text that person, like generic, in case I'm wrong. I'll say, hey, you're on my mind, I'm praying for you. Like that's not offensive. Most people, like, whenever you do that, people will respond back and say, you know, thank you so much. I had a really hard day at work, and I wasn't even thinking about coming to church, but I'll be there tonight. Has ever expected when God like does something, you walk by faith and it happens. Wisdom, discernment, and knowledge, God will lead you that way. Secondly, is what I would call the inspirational gifts. And this is tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Actually, I'm gonna come back to this if this is okay, because this might need a little more clarification. A lot of people get confused on it. Go to the next one. These are demonstrational power gifts. Faith, healings, and miracles. How many of you have ever seen a miracle before? You've heard me say, but listen, our God does miracles. And these are the faith and healing. My dad would flow into faith miracles. Listen, by the way, if God ever uses you, you don't walk around and say, I'm the faith guy. You just walk it out and do it and see what happens. You don't have to tell somebody. You don't have to buy a pair of white shoes and go get a white van and start preaching. Just do it. Just do it. But up in Newark, we started a church. And one of the things that's always a challenge for churches is snow. If you have a snowplow truck, you like it. It's called white gold. If you're a pastor, you don't like it because it ruins your parking lot and it costs a lot of money to get rid of it. But when you start a church, you don't have a lot of money. Guess who shovels? The young men in the church. So I remember the snow came down. It was probably 3 or 4 inches. In cities, it's hard to get rid of snow because where do you put it? In suburbs, you just kind of push it to the streets. You got plenty of spots. But we had nowhere to get rid of it. So there was like this abandoned like piece of property across the street. So we had to shovel. There's about 10 of us guys out there shoveling. Well, you can't just like, you had to walk it all the way across the street and throw it into this abandoned like property. Do you know how hard that is? We're out there for like 6 hours. You know, you break your back. And there's some rules towards snow. Once you get done snow shoveling, you have to go home and make tomato soup and grilled cheese. That's it. That's what you have to do. That's in the Bible right there. So we got all done. And a friend of mine, he's a real young guy. We were all like in our early 20s. He goes like this. He goes, I lost my keys. Now you have to know there's this huge mound of snow like 20 feet over there. And my dad had a moment of faith. He got everybody in a circle. All right, everybody circle up. We're going to believe God that we're going to find these keys. And you know what I was thinking? This guy named Tim, you're a moron. Why did you lose your keys? Sometimes there's somebody in the room that has faith and you don't. So my dad, a moment of faith, the Holy Spirit came. He goes, I'm believing that we're going to find these keys. And you have to remember, there's a huge mound. So my dad prayed. Have you ever like prayed with your eyes open? Because you're like, ah. It was one of those moments. And like Tim was like my contemporary. So like, dude, you're such a, you know, you're starting to see, you got all these like Christian curses going on inside. Like, all right, moron, you dork, you know, whatever. And so I remember we had, I'm like this. I was tired. I was ready for it. I slammed 6 hours. We're walking over there. What we had to do is basically move the whole mound over there to find the stupid keys. Because really, it was his car keys. It was also the church keys. If someone found those church keys, that would have been really bad. And after about 5 minutes, I remember, as God is my witness, Tim, you know, he's feeling bad. I'm making him feel bad. Dude, come on, man. You know, you're just kind of natural. You're just kind of normal. I remember he stuck his whole hand into the pile. And I remember he goes like this, I found the keys. God's my witness. But it all started with a moment of the Holy Spirit where somebody had faith to call people to God. You can't make it up. You can't, and by the way, you can't reproduce it. God doesn't do copies. You can't say, hey, let's do it here to prove God here. There's been no snow this year. God would have to redo something new and fresh in our lives today by faith. I'm telling you, God did miracles. I'm telling you, I saw this at Central Bible College. A guy named Chad, he was 5'10", but he was stocky, and nobody wanted to get by his elbows. He would play against guys 6'6". He would go, he had this amazing vertical, and he would grab it and go like this. He would clear people out. But during practice, I remember he fell. I heard a snap. His knee went double the size. And my college coach, he goes, all right, everybody, let's pray for Chad. I didn't know my coach was a Christian. I mean, Christian University, he turned red, he yelled at the refs the whole time. I know he was a Christian, but he didn't, you know, during games, he didn't act like a Christian. Anybody else? Anybody struggle with their sanctification while your kids are playing? All right. Lord, help me now. All right. But his knee was big. My first response is get the trainer to get him out. You got to go to the hospital, right? That's what happens. And so I did. So coach goes, everyone put your hand on him, on Chad, like this. And I was doing one of these eye roll things. I go, you know, kind of like leaning in like this, like, you know, barely. As God is my witness, his knee was double the size of a regular knee. It went right back down, and Chad jumped up and said, let's keep practicing. He got checked out later. There was nothing wrong with him. You can praise God for that. But these stories stick in my head. And these stories, God wants them to be in your life. That you would trust him and you would believe. And if God maybe comes upon you and you're in a small group and someone's not feeling well, and God just says, well, pray for him. Just pray for him and believe God. Young people, believe it. These gifts are for real, for today. It's real. Pray. Believe God for miracles. Believe God for healing. At the end of the service, I'm going to say, does anyone need something? God is able to do what only God could do. And he's not trying to replace it from something long time ago. He's doing it. He wants to do it right now in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. This happens. God's so faithful. He's so good. Now let's go back to the other three gifts. I call these the inspirational gifts, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. This kind of confuses people, but ladies and gentlemen, this happens. This actually happened to us. How many of you were here last week, 10:45? Do you remember the end of the service? The sermon was great. I preached great. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, like out of 1 out of 10, it was like 11. It was amazing. Turned people's lives completely around. No, but at the end of the service, I don't know if you remember, right? I feel like the Holy Spirit said, service isn't over. And there was a moment, it was like 10 or 15 seconds. You remember that pause? By the way, whenever the Holy Spirit moves, sometimes there's an awkwardness. Listen, I didn't invent tongues. This is God. I didn't invent that Jesus was born of a virgin. That's supernatural. So I'm standing here, and I felt like the Holy Spirit, just like I was in the water baptism tank, more people had to be. You know, at some point, you want to be right. I'm standing here. I'm like, okay, Lord. And I stood here for like 20, 30 seconds waiting on the Holy Spirit because I felt like God wanted to use one of the gifts of the Spirit in the church. This is very distinct to a Pentecostal church. You will not get this at a non-Pentecostal church. People don't like silence. You ever notice that? Hey, Will, just get going. Christian, get up here quick. Just say a prayer. Put the video on. Anything that goes awkward makes everybody feel weird. Whenever the Holy Spirit moves, you open yourself up to being something awkward. But it's not bad. It's actually really good. Let me tell you something awkward. I sat with a young man who was 17 years old. He did a crime. He stole a car, but the person was close to the car. The guy got out to shut the gate. He jumped in there. In the state of New Jersey, when you overpower somebody, it's almost like a violent crime. I sat with a 17-year-old young kid in Newark, New Jersey, who was getting ready to serve 17 years in jail. That's an awkward situation. If you cheat on your wife and you go have to confess to her, that's an awkward situation. You cheat on your tests and you get busted and you go to the principal and you have to go spend a couple hours on Saturday in the cafe gymatorium. That's an awkward situation. What I'm talking to you is not awkward. It's just different. It's of God. It's holy. It's pure. I felt like the Holy Spirit said, I want to use my gifts in the church. And I don't know if you remember, but last Sunday, right at the end of the message, there was a beautiful tongue and interpretation in the church. Ladies and gentlemen, when the gifts are used to glorify Jesus Christ, there's nothing better. Some people will make fun. Actually, we're going to have what's called a Holy Spirit conference in about 1 month. And our guest speaker is Tim Inlow. If you could prepare now, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, no Wednesday night. But our guest speaker, Tim Inlow, his life was transformed because God's people used the gifts of the Holy Spirit. His whole ministry is called the Holy Spirit Conference. He just goes from church to church. He's coming in, Holy Spirit Conference. I want to roll a quick video of something that happened to him in Assembly of God Church. And then years later, in Africa, the revelation through tongues and interpretation. Watch this.
Hey, MAG family, great to see you guys. Looking forward to see you in the month of May at the Holy Spirit Emphasis. Don't miss it. God's going to do great things. I wanted to share with you real quick about a childhood experience that I had. It's actually a frequent week after week occurring childhood experience. There was a man in our home church at Harrisburg First Assembly of God in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, a sister church to MAG. And at the end of each of our services, we would typically have a prayer time. We called it altar time. And we would press in and pray and seek the Lord. And week after week after week, for the first decade plus of my life in the 1970s, there would be a man that would come and pray at our altars. He was a good man, a godly man. He wasn't super educated, but a very godly man, a godly leader. And he was one of my friend's dads. And he would pray, and I would overhear him. Myself and my sisters would overhear him, as others around him would hear him praying these words, Shikamo Baba. Now, I hope you don't think I'm making fun of him praying in tongues, because I mean no disrespect whatsoever. And I have no doubt at all as to the authenticity or sincerity or spirituality of this man. And I say those words reverently, all right? But he would pray those words over and over and over again. My sisters and I and others have commented through the years, Shikamo Baba, we would hear that time and time again. I mean, again, not to be disrespectful. But imagine my surprise when in 2016, Rochelle and I were ministering way deep in the bush in Tanzania, about 6 hours plus after the road stops, among a people group called the Datog. And they're working with native Datog missionaries preaching. After one day of preaching, we were having a big prayer meeting with a bunch of pastors, Rochelle and I. And as we're praying, I heard my dear friend, Datog pastor Gilagwenda Maunda, across this hotel room where we were praying, and he began to pray, Shikamo Baba, Shikamo Baba, when he was praying. Well, it caught my attention, so I ran across the prayer room, grabbed a hold of his arm and interrupted him, and I said, Pastor Gil. He goes, what? I said, were you praying in tongues? And he said, well, I was praying some in tongues, some in Swahili, some in High Datog, which is a different language. I said, well, you were praying and you said, and I'm trying to overcome my reverence, you know, for these words. I said, you were praying and you said, Shikamo Baba? He goes, yeah. I said, was that tongues? And he said, no, not at all. That's Swahili. Shikamo is, I give you the highest honor possible. It literally means, like, in context, normally when you greet someone, you grasp their hand to shake their hand. Shikamo means I grasp your feet. And Baba is the warm personal term for father, like daddy. He said, I was just saying to my heavenly father, Father, I give you the highest honor. And my mind went back to, what, 40 plus years in the 1970s of hearing this a leader in our church, but an uneducated man. I mean, they barely taught Spanish in our high schools as a second language, certainly not Swahili. We had no Swahili culture people in our church at all. But this man praying as the Holy Spirit was prompting him, the most beautiful and appropriate words of worship. God is a God of miracles on 100 million different levels. And I trust that you will allow God to work his miracles in your life as well. See you in May.
There was a tongue, a man prayed in tongues, and it almost seemed to be like gibberish. Sometimes you don't know what you're saying or whatever, if it's a real language or the Bible says an angel language. But what he was praying was, I give you the highest praise. What I want to talk to you about is the most intimate language you could have on earth. Let me say this. This is the most intimate thing that could ever happen in your life, more than a man being with a woman. When someone prays in a tongue, there's a divine connection between you and God. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 explains tongues in the individual prayer time with alone with God, and then in the church service. When someone prays in tongues, it does not need to be interpreted if it's by yourself. When it's in the church, if someone commands the room, if there's a tongue, there must be an interpretation. This is what 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. The Bible says, desire spiritual gifts. Young people, ask God. Everybody go after gifts, especially prophecy. Preachers, we're raising up preachers. We need godly preachers to preach. For anyone who speaks in a tongue, watch this, does not speak to people, but to God. When you pray in tongues individually, by yourself, you're not talking to people this way. You're talking to God. You're talking to God. That's what tongues are. That's what, if you ever see someone who speaks in tongues, they're speaking to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. That's what the pastor does. He's preaching with strength, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. This is what happens. If anyone speaks in tongues by yourself, you're building yourself up. You say, Lord, I want to be spiritually stronger. I want to be more of a spiritual person. I want the gift that you have. You build yourself up. If by nature you're down, you say, I need up. I need encouragement. You don't need to go and get high. You don't need to go rob the pharmaceutical drug. God has a natural built-in spiritual dimension. The Bible says that when you pray in tongues, it lifts you up. And it can be simple like this. You're driving down the road. You've had a really long day. And someone quit a job or whatever at work. And you're driving. You listen to some K-Love. And you start singing worship to God. And all of a sudden, you start praying in the Spirit. And it just lifts you up. You say, is that real? You know, ladies and gentlemen, it's real. It's real. It's biblical. It's for today. And God will bless you. He lifts his people. He blesses his people. Amen. Anyone who speaks in tongue edifies himself, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. The Apostle Paul says, everyone. But I would rather you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that church may be edified. It's better to speak in English. If someone's just going to speak jibber-jabber, that's not going to help anybody. But if there's somebody who's speaking in tongues and there's someone there to interpret it, that's good too. So you need preaching in English and encouragement in small groups, but there's gifts of the Spirit that are a real blessing. If there's a tongue, it must always be interpreted. Everybody with me so far? All right, don't run out. Here we go. Watch this. I'm just going to walk you through it. Verse 12, so it is with you. Since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For the reason the one who speaks in the tongue should pray that they may interpret what they, excuse me, for this reason the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. That happened to us last week. Someone spoke in tongue and they interpreted it. So if you're ever in a Pentecostal church environment, if someone speaks in a tongue, they can easily interpret their own tongue. Oftentimes, the expression is, when there's a tongue, maybe somewhere on this side of the room, there may be an interpretation on this side of the room, and that's okay too. But if you go to a Southern church, all-white church, Southern Baptist, that doesn't believe in tongues in Alabama next week, and you say, well, I'm going to go show those people, and you start talking in tongues, you better have an interpretation. It's not right to go into an environment that you know they're against it, and then you give a tongue without you have to be ready for the interpretation. Amen? This is not about being rude. I'm telling you, that's good here, but there's some places they don't believe. Does that make sense? I'm just telling you how it is right there. You keep going, Pastor. All right. Verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I'll do both. I'll pray with my spirit, but also I'll pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, you are praising God in the spirit. How can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer say amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you're saying? So now he's going between, listen, individually when you're praying to God in your devotions, you might be singing like a song to the Lord. Lord, this is my desire. Oh man, that'll get you close to God right there. And you just begin to pray, and then you're kind of like singing and praising God, and then you go right into tongues. And then you go right back into praising God. That's usually when you get tongues and interpretation in church, right? It's after worship because your heart is sensitive before God. You very rarely get in the parking lot. You race in here, people bumping you like, oh yeah, I love Jesus. It's usually when your tender heart and you're just worshiping, praising God. And the Apostle Paul says, sometimes I pray in the spirit. And God kind of goes around your mind. You know, by the way, some people overthink this. They're so analytical. You're so smart, you kind of smarted yourself out of the things of God. That's happening in our churches today. People say, oh, we don't need this. Do you really need this? Like, do you really need tongues? God's saying, I want to give you a gift, so you do need it. I'm sure, and by the way, I can't do this without the Holy Spirit. I'm not smart enough. I don't have enough money. We don't have enough fog machines. We don't have enough lights. We don't have the cameras. But if God comes, he enables us to do what he could do. I'm just telling you, I don't have the ability in my own nature, my own natural ability to lead the church. But when God gives the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll see the miraculous take place. There's no way that this church can compete with Hollywood. They do their videos a lot better. Your kids will be enthralled to play the stupid games all day, and their spirits go down, down, down. They come to God's house, and God lifts them by the supernatural. Say, Mom and Dad, did you see that today? Did you see Mrs. Jones got healed today? Did you see that lady was depressed and discouraged? You see her lifting up her hands? She hasn't come out of her house in a month, and she's lifting up her hands to God. Did you see that? Those people, they've been fighting for, everyone knows they've been fighting for a long time, and God begins to work on their marriage and restore them, and the joy of the Lord becomes a strength. They have to go to the well of the goodness of Almighty God. God is bigger than our problems, and he uses through the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? So he's first talking about his own personal prayer time, but then he's talking about in the church situation. He goes, there has to be somebody there to interpret. You are giving thanks. But by the way, if you command the room, you speak in tongue, if you command it, then there has to be an interpretation. So if you pray in tongues, you just got to keep quiet in the church. But if you demand the room, there must be an interpretation. There's nothing wrong with demanding the room, but you just need to be full of the Spirit. You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. I thank God. Now, look at this, ladies and gentlemen. Apostle Paul says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. He's saying, this is good that you pray in the Holy Spirit. We're almost done. Verse 26. Now, keep going. This is good stuff. What shall we say then, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or interpretation. Everything should be done so the church may be built up. Don't talk bad about the church. Don't talk bad about me or the deacons or Will or worship guy. Don't talk bad about him. He just got up here. You know, come on. Build it up. Build it up. You say, I'm sour. I'm me. I'm glass half full. Well, get a hold of yourself. Come to the altar. Ask God to forgive you and build up the church. What's wrong with you? I mean, really, why would you criticize Jesus' church? It's his blood that sets people free. You're going to talk bad about Jesus? Are you kidding me? What's wrong with you? You need Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and his blood sets people free and delivers them. And you're going to be negative? Come on. That's crazy talk. And sometimes we don't even think about it. Everybody in this room, you're one of the most blessed people in all the world. That your kids would have kids ministry and a field house to have youth ministry. You are blessed. If somehow you feel like, I'm going to walk around and start complaining, just ask Jesus to forgive you. We'll forgive you, but this is not the time or the place. People's lives are on the line. Lady was texting me today. She goes, I work with Muslim people, a lady from Pakistan. She goes, like, I'm having a hard time understanding. If she dies, she can't go to heaven. Listen, I didn't write the book. Jesus said, unless a man be born again, he can't go to heaven. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He's trying to go after people. That's why we give to missions, so that people come to know Jesus. This is like everything. And God wants to empower us. I said, ma'am, you got to be a good friend, but you can't do this. You need God. You need his spirit. Because what happens is when people have problems, whether it's the keys in the snow or people's kids get sick, whatever, problems are an opportunity for God to use you in that situation. You live in America. The problem with America is everyone wants to be comfortable. So you go buy a whole bunch of stuff to make you feel comfortable, and it doesn't satisfy. Your soul is down here. And God says, don't worry about the problems. Let the problems drive you to God and believe God to do miracles in the problem. If you have problems, you might be in a great spot right now. God can work in your life supernaturally and powerfully in Jesus' name. If anyone speaks in a tongue, this is how it goes. We're almost done. If anyone speaks in a tongue, Redstone doesn't open until 1 o'clock. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret. So this is how it goes. If there's a tongue, there should be interpretation. You can have up to three. A tongue, interpretation. If you go somewhere, there's like 20 of them, too much. Young people, you should know. Not because Pastor John said, nope, that's not right. No judgment, just that's not right. If there's a tongue, there should always be interpretation. Pray for your pastor, because he can help give guidance. It's a teaching moment. If there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in church and speak to himself and to God. Just talk to God. He'll listen. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what's said. Listen right here. If there's ever a tongue or interpretation, or if someone preaches here and something doesn't seem right, everybody should pay attention. That's not right. I've been here 13 years. There's only one time where somebody spoke in a tongue, gave interpretation. It was mean. I'm like, what's wrong? I had to kind of talk to that person. I said, hey, listen, the spirit, what you did, it was actually political. We were praying for the mayor of our town, and it kind of came across like that. That mayor needs to repent, get their life right with God. I'm like, whoa. And they wound up leaving the church. They had no desire. They had no desire to do what's right for the body. They just wanted to express their anger and frustration. That's not here. It's not to be mean. It's just like, dude, you can't be, our kids are listening to this stuff. This stuff is real. We need God. We can't confuse them. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. There should never be two tongues at the same time. It's not like a battle. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. And in all congregations of the Lord's people, have you ever seen maybe on TV? I don't see it here. But somebody like the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they lose control. Have you ever seen that? Crazy. That's not God. When God's Spirit moves upon people, it brings us more into control. Never ecstasy, not foaming at the mouth. You know, not like extreme falling down. Actually, the only times in the Bible that people fell down was actually they fell forward in Jesus' presence. During my mom's experience in Pentecost, she said that like they had some preachers and they would come and pray for people, right? And she goes, my mom's just like kind of funny. She goes, it's just more comfortable laying down than standing up. I'm like, Mom, you can't just fall down for no reason. It's not about falling down. If you ever see somebody out of control, the Holy Spirit always brings control. So, I couldn't stop myself. I was blacking out. No. The Bible says the Holy Spirit, the prophet, is under the control of God. It's just acknowledging that God is moving upon your heart and you express it to give glory to him, honor to God, and build a blessing to the community. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Hail Mary time. America's in some serious trouble. Our young people's serious trouble. And I believe it's not by might nor by power. It's by the Spirit of the living God. Jesus can save us all. He can heal us all. He can spirit baptize us all and bring us all up with him to heaven. If you'll be open to it, say, God, I don't know how you want to use me. I think that's the start. However you want to use me, Lord, I am available to you. Most people haven't been taught. Say, John, do you want tongues and interpretation in your church? Isn't that awkward? Yeah, it's awkward. It's a little awkward. But if we don't, we're going to miss God's voice. Your young people will grow up. Do you know what's happening? Even in Assembly of God churches, young people growing up in churches, they never hear people praying out loud. Moms and dad, get your kids here. I'm so proud of some of you parents. Your kids are hearing people praying out loud, calling on the name of the Lord, and God's coming through. They need to believe God in their generation. They need to hear tongues and interpretation done right. They need to hear prophecy done right. So when they leave and they move on, they go start their own families, they have it in their arsenal. They have it in their, oh yeah, I'm ready to go. And then you're proud of them. They're smart. They're educated. They know God, the movement of God, the nudges of God, in and out of the Holy Spirit. You're on top of it. You kind of know. Satan likes to come and distract and distort, and he wants to silence and just move on. Come on, pastor, just 1 hour. Let's get out of here. Do you know the average church right now? 1 hour. Just 1 hour. You can't get everything done with 1 hour. I'm not trying to take this long. I'm sorry. I mean, you can't. That's why we wait on the Lord on Wednesday night. We pray. We walk. We need God. Settle our hearts. It's been a busy week. We're just trying to microwave this, and we're just spiritually low. God says, let the Holy Spirit come. He'll guide you. He'll give you the gifts. Pastor's just kind of setting the table, but it's God in us and through us for his glory and for his honor. Would you stand with me? Would you stand with me in the Lord's presence? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go long, but that was good preaching, good teaching today. Most people don't know. You know what? People come to me all the time and say, pastor, I know about you. And they say, you know, Pentecost, oh yeah, the girls can't wear makeup and the guys, I'm like, that has nothing to do with it. The Bible says you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Young people, you want God to use you in healing? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Moms and dads, you want your young people to have discernment? They know what they're walking into. Sometimes you walk into a crowd, you're like, oh, there's something wrong about this. And you don't know, you can't pick it. By nature, I'm very witty as it comes to humor. Like if somebody sneezes, I will just say, God bless you, and keep moving on in sermon. But sometimes I'm slow to it. God, sometimes by his Spirit, he'll just give me discernment. Something's not right. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I can't. All I know is something's not right. God says, when you're talking to somebody, I want you to share the message with them. God, are you sure? I don't want to be embarrassed. God says, just trust me. Just trust me. And God has a way of opening up the doors. This young generation coming up, they need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They need to be filled. It's not spooky. God's not spooky. He's practical. I'm a practical Christian. So I'm led by God to give and to give to missions. But also, we put a budget together in the church budget. You see it. We're going to pray right now and believe God, but we also build a field house. Very practical. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and miracles, but we clean the bathrooms. You have both at the same time happening. But if you're going to choose one, go after Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Go after it. These last days, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Moms and dads, ask God to fill your kids with the Holy Ghost. Because I'm telling you right now, if they're not filled with the Holy Ghost, they're going to be filled with some type of demonic activity swirling around over their head. And don't get caught up in tongues. If you thought this message about speaking in tongues, let me just tell you what I hear. I hear people using the F word all the time. I hear people using God's name, damn. I hear the B word, the D word. I hear people gossip, slander all around me. You go to ShopRite, you're scanning, beep, beep, and you hear all these people cursing. And God wants to fill your mouth with a gift of tongues, and he wants to bless you. That's not weird. That's good. Cursing and using the F-bomb and disrespecting your parents and the president, all that's weird. That's all this junk that's coming out of us. God says, I'm going to change your heart and let your heart be filled with praise and worship and thanksgiving and tongues and glorification to God and encouragement. God wants to fill you so much with him. All the other stuff, you're going to be filled with something, or alcohol or prescription drugs or marijuana. You get so filled with this stuff. And God says, I have something else to fill you, and it's good. It sustains you. It blesses you. It will help you be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Be used by God. Try it. Say, I think God wants me to heal somebody. Don't do it in church. You see some guy at Walmart? Just go up to him and say, listen, I see you hurting. Would it be okay if I pray for you? You'll know if you have the gift of healing if that guy gets healed. Try it. Try using gifts. Have courage, have faith. As God leads you, just do it for his glory, for his honor. I preach way too long, but if you need a miracle or you want to be filled with the Spirit, be used by God in a greater way, we can come stand around this altar. I'll get you out of here in 3 minutes for his glory, for his honor. But you come and lift up your hands to God and say, oh God, I need you, Lord. I want to be used by you, Lord. And you trust him. You believe him. He's faithful in all of his ways.